Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing the journey we began yesterday, a 40-day journey through the season of Lent, this season of repentance, this season of fasting and abstinence and almsgiving, a season of spiritual warfare and spiritual combat. That's really what it is, essentially. And if we take up the task of engaging the spiritual combat more seriously in our lives, following the leadership of the church as she shepherds us through this imitation, really, of Jesus's battle against Satan in the desert. If we get serious about sin and about the spiritual battle that we're in these 40 days, friends, we can make progress through God's grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's here 24/7 to help us get real about our condition before the Lord, to be totally honest about the condition of our heart before God, to understand where we are. And so we should welcome the examining light of the Holy Spirit that shines into our heart. I think we should each day invite the Lord to say, Lord, help me understand in what ways. You could begin, maybe it's simpler to say this, just begin with a quiet time before the Lord here in the beginning of this season, having your journal there or a legal pad or something, and say, Lord, help me understand. Holy Spirit, help me understand the areas of my life that where I'm walking in sin, where I'm walking in a way that's not pleasing to God, and maybe I don't even see it fully. Maybe I'm engaging in a habit pattern of sin that I don't think is very serious, you know? For example, I'm just going to throw this one out there, like the sin of masturbation. There's a lot of confusion about it in the actual practice, not the teaching of the church, but in the practice of it. Like people say, that's not really a sin. It can't be a sin. It's just a kind of physiological deal that you just kind of go through and that you need to have in your life in some way. And that's not really what the church teaches. That's not really what God wants us to think about it. It really is to willfully do that is a mortal sin. It needs to be repented of. It's very serious. Now, there might be some priests who are listening to this program and saying, oh, come on, even priests saying that, right? I mean, I was in the confession at one point in my life where, and others have mentioned the same thing. Brothers have mentioned the same thing where they confess it and a certain priest would say, well, that's not a sin. You don't have to worry about it. Well, that's a confusion. And so somebody could be literally doing that, walking in that, you might say, and have a habit of it and not know that it's serious, right? So ask the Holy Spirit to say, look, I just want to know what pleases you. So it's St. Paul said, we make it as disciples now, we make it our aim to please the Lord. We're not afraid to look at our sin and to examine it in our lives honestly, because we know that we're not under condemnation. God's not stopping around in heaven angry. God is love. And God's love is a fire. It's a purifying fire. And in this season, he wants to purify us of sin so we can be like his son. Because his plan for us is that we live in the fullness of joy, that we live in the fruits of the Spirit, and that we literally live in love. And sin really is the opposite of love, right? It's the refusal to love. It's a refusal to love God. It's a refusal to love neighbor. And it's a refusal to love ourselves in the right way. So you could literally just ask the Holy Spirit in the quiet of your prayer, what areas of my life do I need to bring under submission to Jesus, under his lordship? What areas of my life and my relationships, in my speech, how I use my time, how I use my money, how I relate to people, my sexual life, all these things, Lord, show me my mind, what I'm doing with my mind. And to not see it as a bummer, in the sense of not see it as, oh man, this is terrible, I feel bad about myself. Look, you're called to love yourself, but with humility. And with humility is just being honest. Be honest about who you are, where you are, and understand that the Lord's here. Remember, I think I mentioned yesterday, imagine Jesus standing before you in that prayer time, right there with the wounds in his hands and his side, the crown of thorns, the marks on his head, but the glory of God radiating from him. And he's just saying, give me your sins. Don't hold on to them. They're not good for you. They're killing you. Give me your sins and let me take them to the cross. Let me crucify them. So it's really important for us, I think, to have that kind of intentionality, not just to fast, for example. Like yesterday, it was a day of fast and abstinence, and we abstained from meat, and we fasted one main meal and two snacks that didn't exceed the size of that meal. It's a good thing. It's important to do that. It's good discipline. But there's other ways we can fast, friends. We can discipline ourselves, like less TV, less computer, less iPhone, you know, constantly being connected to the social network, habituated to it now, right? And it's good to just shut that stuff down for a period of time, to have self-mastery. Try it. You'll see how hard it is, how difficult it is. Have your teenage son or daughter consider doing it. Watch the battle that'll be. It's important for them too. They don't realize maybe how addicted they are to the whole thing and how distracting it is. It's just more noise and can be filled with all kinds of sinful stuff. It's not in and of itself sinful, but it can have a lot of gossip and just all kinds of things on it that I'm sure you're very much aware of, that setting aside the phone and the social network for one day, 2 days, 5 days, a whole week. You know, friends, my daughter a couple of years ago, and I think she does it every year now, is just shuts down Facebook for the entire season of Lent. I'm not even sure she's using Facebook right now, but I know she did that in the past, and it was a good discipline. She's a millennial, and I think it's a good thing for millennials to do, to kind of just get quiet, and all of us too. I think it's so clear how much we're addicted to our phones and to technology. So there's a good thing to put before the Lord and to make a decision about how to handle that through the season of Lent. What I'd like to do today is look at two passages. First, John 3:16 and following, and the beginning of Romans 1. I want to do this throughout the season of Lent, off and on, to look at passages that describe the reality of sin, what sin is, and how serious Jesus is about it, and how serious the apostles' teaching is about it, so we can take on the mind of Christ, and our mind can be renewed, can be washed, as Jesus said, washed by the word, and cleansed our minds and our hearts. So everyone knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent forth his son out of love, our elder brother, to come in search of us, in search of you and me. And his goal and his end game is to make it possible for us to enter eternal life, to share in the life of the Father and the Son. Verse 17, for God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So he doesn't come to condemn us, but he does come to save us. We need to be saved. Everybody on the planet needs to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the power of sin and death, saved from the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and ultimately saved from hell for heaven. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already. These are the words of Jesus or John the writer, the one who wrote this gospel. Hear it clearly. He who believes in him, who believes in Jesus, is not condemned. So faith in Jesus Christ, surrendering our life to him, saying yes to him and his diagnosis of our life, and repenting and entering the waters of baptism, that person is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The stakes could not be higher. Failure to believe in Jesus, the offer of salvation from the Father, his precious Son, failure to believe in Jesus leads to condemnation. Now, that's something a lot of people don't believe anymore, right? The assumption by most people is that everybody's good and everybody's going to be saved. There might be a few people, the Hitlers and the Stalins, but other than that, everybody's going to be saved. So the condemnation thing, the hell thing, it doesn't really apply. That's not true. That's not biblical revelation. That's not the teaching of the Catholic Church. That's not the teaching of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, nor is it the teaching of the saints. To not believe in Jesus is worthy of condemnation. It's a refusal to accept God's offer of salvation. We've lost sight of the fact, first, that we need to be saved. Secondly, that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Muhammad can't save us. Buddha can't save us. No guru can save us. No philosophy, Aristotle, they can't save us. Everybody who enters heaven ultimately will enter heaven because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did on Calvary, because he is the one who God has sent as the only Savior of the world, as St. Peter told us. The reading goes on. The one who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. I'm reading this passage because 1 John 3:16 is probably the most famous passage in the Bible. You know, it shows up at sporting events all the time. There was a guy many years ago with funny hair who used to carry the sign to every major sporting event in the country. This is one of the few verses that lots of people can quote. And it's true. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But he gave his son, what this passage tells us, is he gave his son to save us. Because we need saving. We need saving from powers that are greater than ourselves and that we simply cannot conquer on our own. And it's the power of sin and death. We are death-directed beings. We're under the reign of sin and death apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, I read a quote by him the other day, said, "If your blood does not cry out for me, Jesus, I am not saved." And then the passage describes the condition of the human heart. And this is the judgment. So the light comes. Jesus is the light. He's the light from the Father. He reveals the Father. He reveals the will of the Father. He brings heaven to earth. He makes known to us where we've come from, why we're here, where we're going, what we're responsible to. Jesus brings light to all of it. He exposes the reality of sin and Satan and all of his work, and he reveals the kingdom of God. So Jesus is the light. And this passage is very clear. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. That's Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There's a description of the condition of the human heart. Our sickness is that we love darkness, that we love sin. We don't love all sin. We couldn't think of ever committing certain sins. But there are sins that we all have that we have no problem committing and that we're attracted to. And we decide many times to live in the twilight, one foot in the kingdom or a toe in the kingdom and a foot in the world. And we play a game because we don't want to let go of our habit patterns of sin, drunkenness, lust, unforgiveness, right? Envy, jealousy, gossip, whatever it is. These are all deadly things that need to be repented of. And Jesus, in his mercy, is here in this season inviting us now to get serious about our battle against sin, to understand it and understand ourselves. Let the Word of God examine you. And understand that these words that I just read, this is truth about you as well. And so ask the Lord in this season to say, "Jesus, shed your light into my life. I don't want to hide. I don't want to hide anything from you. Help me see and give me conviction to make war against sin in my life and to say yes to the disciplines that you're leading us into in this season of Lent, because I want to live in you. I want to radiate your life and I want to radiate your joy." God bless you, friends. I hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the Church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.